You are listening to A True Church Perspective from the Macedonia Baptist Church family. We pray that this message is a true blessing to you.
Called Sanctuary of the Macedonia Baptist Church, where our pastor is Pastor Charles Twyman. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and celebrate. Celebrate our pastor. I thank him for this privilege and opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk. It never gets easy to preach for your pastor. Nervous. Well, we thank God for this today. I've been pastoring a little over a year now. And you get an opportunity to sit at tables and talk to people. And I've come to discover there's nobody like my pastor. I mean, when you're at church, you know it. There's no one like him. But when you sit at tables with big name preachers and they don't have a standard like your pastor, you know, they just... It's a difference between being big in name and big in spirit. And so I thank God that while many might not know who Pastor Twyman is, they need to know who Pastor Twyman is. So I thank God for my pastor, this privilege. The gospel according to John chapter number 2. The gospel according to John chapter number 2. Very familiar passage of scriptures. Beginning with verse number 1 of the gospel according to John. To my brethren and the clergy, I thank God for you. Beginning with verse 1 of John's Gospel, chapter number 2. So there you will find these words. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour has not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. When the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, and knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and said unto him, every man that beginneth doth set forth good wine, and when men have well drunk, then that which is worse. But thou hast kept the good wine until now. This beginning of miracles did Jesus do in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. I want to tag this text this morning with the thought, Jesus to the rescue. Jesus to the rescue. Every now and then, something happens that no human intellect can explain. Deny it's just God. Every now and then, there's something that happens in life that there is no human intellect that can explain it. It's just God being God. And oftentimes we do ourselves a disservice when we try to explain what God can do. The Bible says, I have not seen and ear have not heard, neither has it entered to the heart of men the great things that God has in store. You don't always know what God has the ability to do. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Doesn't necessarily always tell us how he's going to do it. He just has the power and the ability to do some things. What I love about God is that God does not have to reveal to us the game plan. He does not have to reveal to us the strategic method and how he is going to be God and reign supreme as God. What God does is God shows up on the scene and he does what you cannot do, and he does not have to explain to anybody why he does it. He's just God enough to do it, and if you don't like it, too bad for you, because I'm God and you can't change what I'm going to do. Is there anybody in here that can just be thankful that God does not need permission in order to be God? He does not need authority, for he is authority, and every time that I need him, he shows up, and when he shows up, he changes whatever it is that's happening around me. And I got tired of trying to explain God to people in my life. Baby, if you don't like what God is doing in my life, that's your problem and not mine. I'm just thankful that God chose to shower a little favor down on my low down, dirty, wretched, no good self and give me an opportunity to do something in life that I did not deserve. I cannot explain it. All I can tell you is that I am experiencing what I cannot explain. I am experiencing the grace of God. I'm experiencing the mercy of God. I'm experiencing the favor of God, and I cannot explain why God keeps on doing what he's doing. Let me see if I could try it like this. I cannot explain why he woke me up this morning, but I came in here to experience life and life more abundantly. Is there anybody in here that can say, I can't explain it, I'm just experiencing it? I can't explain his goodness, but I thank God every day I experience I snuck in my text already. The Bible was tailored to teach us today that there is a wedding at Cana of Galilee, and Jesus and his disciples, along with his mother, has received an invite to the wedding. And when they show up to the wedding is taking place, and everybody's having a good old time. And the Bible teaches us that they run out of wine. When they run out of wine, Mary, Jesus' mother, goes to him and says, hey, they want more wine. They ran out of wine. And Jesus says unto her, woman, what hast thou to do with me? I want to pause right there and just say, I don't think Jesus' mama was black. I just don't think she was black, because even to this day, I'm afraid to call my mama woman. I know you Jesus and you're God in the flesh, but I don't think she was black, because I don't think there's a black mother in here that would have took that woman too well. Says woman, what does that have to do with me? Mine hour has not yet come. And she seems to go above and beyond Jesus, and she tells the servants, whatever he tells you to do, do it.
and they do it. Jesus says, hey, take those stone pots over there and fill them to the brim with water. Tell them to fill them to the brim with water. And the Bible teaches us that they did so. And he says, draw out and take it to the governor of the festivity. That sound about right to y'all? If you would allow me to back up and share a couple things that I believe are pertinent to our Christian development today, I'll be out your way real soon. Can I submit unto you today that wine is synonymous in the Bible with the word joy? And so when Mary shows up and she says to Jesus, they ran out of wine. The synonymous word of the text is that they ran out of joy. You didn't catch it. The word wine is synonymous with the word joy. When Mary shows up on the scene, she says to Jesus, the ultimate restorer of joy, that they ran out of joy. Okay, they're at a celebration, but they ran out of a good reason to be at a celebration. But somehow she goes to Jesus, who is the center of our joy, and tells them, hey, Jesus, they ran out of joy. And Jesus says, what that got to do with me? Because they ran out of joy. She says, son, don't you know that you are the joy of the world? And baby, if anybody can fix what they ran out of, it's you. Is there anybody in here that you are glad that when your life seems to be down and out, it seems like you're running out, Jesus knows how to restore you back to where you're supposed to be. He knows how to create in you a clean heart and renew a right spirit within you. They seem to run out of wine. Mary suggests that they ran out of joy. But I'm glad that Jesus knows how to fill your joy, because he's filled me over and over and over again. And every time he feels me, I never run out. Is there anybody in here? You still got joy, and joy unspeakable. You haven't ran out of any joy. You might not always be happy, but I got joy. I got the joy of Jesus that knows how to make me smile when I should be crying. It knows how to pick me up when I should be down. Is there anybody in here with the joy of Jesus? Okay, let me try it like this. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away. I can't run out of this joy. This joy allows me to show up to church when all hell is breaking loose in my life. This joy allows me to tell my coworkers about the goodness of Jesus. Even though I'm experiencing pain in my life, I will never run out of Jesus.
Says, they ran out of joy. And Jesus does something very unique. He tells them, hey, all right, she ain't listening. And so this is what I want y'all to do. Fill up the water pots. Here's my question for the text. Mary, he has not performed a miracle publicly yet. How is it that you know he got the ability to do it? I want to submit unto you that while this is his first public miracle, I want to submit he's done some stuff privately that gave her public confidence. Yes, sir. All right. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach, but I'm preaching better than you saying amen. You must understand today that it was some stuff done in private which gave her confidence in public. That's why some of y'all don't mind saying amen and hallelujah in public, because of what he did for you in private. Is there anybody in here? Jesus done did some stuff for you in private. And when you get around people in public, you say, baby, let me tell you, I know somebody that can fix that for you. I know somebody that can heal that for you. I know somebody that can deliver you, because he did it for me in private. Is there anybody in here? You ever had a private moment with the Lord where Jesus worked some stuff out with you in private? And then when you got around everybody, you said, come here, let me tell you about a man who knows all about me, who knows what I've been through, who knows how to save me, who knows how to heal me. Is there anybody in here with some private moments and you don't mind sharing publicly? If it had not been for the Lord, who was on my side in private. Baby, I don't know where I would be, but I got a David spirit on me this morning. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. Why? Because he's been doing some stuff in private and I want to make it public. Mary says to them, do whatever he tell you to do. Whatever he says, do it. Notice here, there's not a combative attitude in the passage. And I want to submit unto you that maybe the reason why you've been missing the miracle and missing the move of God is because you're too busy being combative with the command of God. She says, whatever he says to do, do it. Stop arguing with what he says. Just do it. Maybe the reason why we're struggling is because we don't know how to obey the command. I know there's some folk that want to tell you that you can shout your way to the next level, but can I submit unto you, every now and then you got to obey your way to where you want to go with God. Yeah, everything ain't about reach up and get it. Everything ain't about setting the atmosphere. If you want to set a real atmosphere, learn how to obey. Because obedience will take you places that your praise won't do it. Obedience will take you places that your longevity in church won't do it. Because every now and then you gotta learn how to obey God in order to get what you need from God. Because God ain't gonna keep pouring into disobedient people. Gotta stop debating and arguing all the time about whether it's right or wrong, whether you feel it or you don't feel it. Tell the truth, baby, you never feel nothing much of anything anyway. Some of you didn't feel like coming to church, but you don't feel like going to work. You don't feel like cooking. You don't feel like this. You don't. Sometimes all you do is feel like a nut. That's all you feel like. But at the end of the day, baby, when God tells you to do something, you better start doing it, even if you don't feel it, because it's what's best for you if you do it. The next blessing that you need might be predicated upon your obedience. See, it says whatever he says, do it. Jesus sees six pots and he tells them, hey, go get the pots. Six is the number of man. So six falls short every time. Because it's the number of man. But Jesus tells them to take six pots, fill them to the brim. Right? Watch number seven. Because it ain't the pot, it's the man. Because six pots without Jesus still is water. But six pots with Jesus turns into wine. You missed it. You by yourself ain't enough. You need some Jesus in your life if some stuff gonna turn around for you. You've been trying it on your own. That's why it still ain't working. But when you let Jesus get a hold of it, when you obey what Jesus says, he turns your six water pots into six pots of wine. What happens? He tells them, takes the six, fill them to the brim. Pastor Twyman, this is where the text gets really interesting to me, because he tells them to reach into the pot and pour the water out. But the Bible never tells us that Jesus touched the water. It never tells us that he looked at the water. It never tells us that he spoke to the water. So when did the water actually turn into wine? Because the whole time, Jesus never said nothing to the water. He said it to the servants. Can I submit unto you, most of the time, your miracle is predicated upon what he says to you, not talking to your situation. Okay, you missing me today. Most of you want Jesus to talk to what you're going through, and Jesus just want to talk to you. Because if I get you to be obedient, that'll change. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach today. That's why I keep telling you I'm preaching better than you saying amen. I know it's early in the morning, but if you come on and help me, we'll get out of here. Jesus is trying to talk to you and not your problem, baby. Because if you get the right mentality, if you serve better, it's gonna change what you gotta do anyway. Notice what he says. He says, reach in and draw it out. Okay, can I give you the testimony of the water and then I'm gone? Watch testimony of the water. The water testifies to us that it's not how you go in that matters, but how you come out.
Yes, sir.
All right. Y'all ain't caught it. It went in as water, but when it came out, it was wine. Come here, let me see if I can borrow three Hebrew boys. They went into the fiery furnace bound, but when they came out, they was loose. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach. Paul and Silas went into prison in handcuffs, in shackles, but when they came out, they was free. Peter went into prison bound, but when he came out and was knocking on the door, he was free. It's not about how you go in, it's how you come out. Let me see if I can talk to your situation real quick. You might go into the doctor's office with cancer, but God is so powerful that you can come out with being healed. Is there anybody in here? You go into the place of employment with no job, but God is able that when you leave there, you got a job. Because it's not about how you go in, it's about how you come out. So it comes out, and here is the shout of the text. The shout of the text is that when they ran out of wine, they needed Jesus to turn the water into wine to keep the celebration going. Tito, what the text teaches us is that they had to change suppliers. Because the last set of suppliers kept coming up short. But when they switched to Jesus, they never had a problem again. Can I submit unto you, baby, you need to change suppliers, because you've been counting on Chrysler, Ford, and GM to supply you. But when you learn how to count on Jesus, he never runs out of supply. And my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. As long as God is your supplier, you will never run out. Here it is. So Jesus shows up to the rescue. And when he shows up to the rescue, it ain't his time to be on the scene. And so y'all know I love cartoons. And every now and then, I catch a good cartoon. And when I catch a good cartoon, I discover that oftentimes the superhero, whether it be Batman, Superman, or Spider-Man, they show up at the right time to rescue people. But they're not always expected to be who they are. Sometimes Clark Kent is just regular old Clark Kent. He ain't got on his superhero outfit. But in the time of trouble, he changes so that he can rescue those who are in trouble. Y'all ain't gonna help me preach. Okay, I'm gonna try it one more time. When you get in trouble, every now and then God just shows up out of nowhere and swoops in and pulls you out and changes what you're facing, because you can't handle it, because it's more than what you're able to bear. Okay. Let me see. Change suppliers. Jesus swoops in and changes the situation. When Jesus changes the situation, they take the wine to the governor. He drinks it and says, wait a minute. You gave me the best at the end. When you should have gave it to me at the beginning, you gave it to me at the end. Okay, here it is. Here it is. They did not. Jesus didn't step in until they ran out. Lord have mercy. Try the balcony, because this whole front row, this whole first floor ain't gonna help me. Jesus don't step in until they run out. Maybe the reason why Jesus ain't stepped in for you yet is because you ain't ran out. And what Jesus says is, you're not going to mix my good stuff with the world's bad stuff. And so until you run out of outward tapestries that you got in the world, I ain't going to step in. But the moment you run out, baby, I got your back. I'm about to pick you up. I'm going to take you places you've never been before, because you ran out of outward tapestries. And now I can be the supplier you need me to be. Runs out. Governor drinks. Oh, this is good. This the best. Hey. What y'all doing saving this to the end? Y'all should have gave us this up front. Now, there's some people who will mismanage this text and tell you that he was drunk. Nah, baby, he wasn't drunk. He just had good common sense. And just in case you want to believe in your theology that he was drunk, let me help you out. If he was drunk, what the text is tailored to teach us today is that no matter what bad state you in, when what God does, the goodness of Jesus shows up, you still will be able to recognize it. So that removes any excuse you have of not being able to identify the goodness of God at all times. That's why David says, I will bless him at all times, because I recognize no matter what I'm in, no matter what I'm going through, he's still good, and he's been better than good. Drinks it. Here it is. I'm going to give you another chance to shout. He says, where did it come from? Nobody knows but the servants. For the servants were there when Mary told them what the problem was. The servants were there to work in the midst of the miracle. And the servants were there to deliver the results of the miracle. The servant says, we know who did it. It was Jesus. Is there anybody in here that can shout, I know who did it? It was Jesus. I know who healed me. It was Jesus. I know who saved me. It was Jesus. I know who raised me up. It was Jesus. All right. It was Jesus. All right, Pastor, thank you so much for letting me share my little Easter speech, and I'm out of here. If you can read the Bible, the shout of the text is in the first four words of verse number one, and I'm gone. Here's what your Bible ought to say. And the third day. Okay. And the third day. Jesus shows up to the wedding on the third day. They run out on the third day. Hope is gone on the third day. The party is over on the third day. Jesus shows up on the third day, and he restores on the third day what they was crying about on the third day. You still ain't caught it. On the third day, there was no hope. On the third day, they was crying. On the third day, the party was over. Jesus shows up on the third day and changes what they've been dealing with on the third day. I'm going to try it real good. On the third day, they ran out of wine. On the third day, there was no joy. On the third day, they lost all hope. On the third day, they needed a fix. Jesus shows up on the third day, and Jesus changes everything they're facing on the third day. Let me see if I could try. One Friday, he died on the cross. The disciples seem to be lost. Mary is crying. Everybody is dark and grim. He died
they put him in a ball too. But the Bible says that it was early Sunday morning, which was the third day morning, when Jesus got up out the grave. He turned that thing around. No more sadness. Hope is restored. Joy is restored. Because on the third day, he got up with all power in his hand. Is there anybody in here can shout real good? Because on the third day, he brought your pardon. On the third day, he rose in victory. On the third day, he turned it around. Calvary looked bad, but on the third day, I can look back and shout, because he got up. No matter what he went through, it's working together for my good. Jesus to the rescue. Won't he show up? Won't he move on your behalf? Won't he heal you? Won't he deliver you? Anybody here can shout real good. I thank God that Jesus shows up when I need him most. And if it had not been for the Lord on my side, I don't know where I would be. But he keeps on turning it around for me. He keeps on making ways for me. He keeps on doing it. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Won't he, won't he, won't he, won't he? Won't he do it for you? Anybody can shout today. He keeps on doing great things for me. I don't know how you feel about it, but I feel God. He's always making ways. He's always showing up when I don't expect him. He steps in right on time. We serve an on-time God. He may not come when you want him, but he's always.
On time. Jesus to the rescue. May the Lord bless you real good.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman and the Macedonia Baptist Church family, you can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.